Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship together. Well, we're still working through some of our music, but it's going to all be up on display, and hopefully you can sing along with us and worship the Lord together as we begin. We're just so glad that God provides for us, and we have the opportunity to worship this way, but hey, we've got some music, and whether you're comfortable sitting or standing, we're going to worship together. In our time of prayer this morning, please make sure you have your communion elements for a little bit later on, but we're going to do that and in our time of prayer, but we're going to worship the Lord together. John, I know you turned it down a little bit, so make sure you get a little more up here for me, okay? Thank you. Turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. A little bit more, John, for me, please. Thank you. Darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Thank you, Lord, our God is greater. Our God is for us, who can be against? And if our God is with us, then what can stand again? Our God is for us, who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand again? God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Father, we have just come into your house. God, we are so grateful that if our God is for us, then what can stand against us? God, we recognize that we have an awesome power in our God. And Father, we are grateful for a beautiful day. Father, we're thankful that we can see the sights around us and the little deer running around and know that our God has created all things for us. And Father, we are in your presence and thank you for that joy and celebration. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. Know what's going on in the life of our church. Before I get too far along, just so... Well, it's summertime, but Wednesday night we're still doing it at home, but I just want to mention to you, we're working through something right now, and you know, as a pastor, I always like to ask for money, right? That's number one on my list, but no, I'm not doing that. But I want to just mention to you, in the past week, week and a half, we have had both of our furnaces fail in the back fellowship hall. For some odd reason, we had some power surge somewhere where we lost power. We're not 100% certain what took place, when, or how. We're trying to work through the insurance company, but if that doesn't work, we are probably going to end up having to replace both of the furnaces in the back. I hate to even think about that, but the problem is R22, the refrigerant for the air conditioners, they're no longer making it. And one of the furnaces has a cracked heat exchanger and the blower motor has failed. So if we take that off of there and we have to replace the AC unit on it, we're almost at an impasse where those furnaces were in place in about 1995 to 1998. So efficiency-wise, they have reached their max, and we are kind of left with a position that we are contemplating having to replace at least one whole unit. Right now, the price that I have to replace one complete unit, and I'm being totally transparent with you now, we have our leadership team and everything, we're working on prices now, but to replace one whole unit completely is about $12,000. Yeah. If we replace both of them at the same time, our cost for fees and permits and everything is a little bit higher, but we can replace both units, both air conditioners, upgrade the entire system to a little bit more efficient use, save us a little money in the long run, but right now the best price I have is $19,000. Now keep that in mind. It's $12,000 for one unit, $19,000 for both. So if you consider that, that's considerable to have all the work done at one time. Now, the church has the funds, but I'm trying not to deplete what we have in our reserves. And we're trying to work out however financing we can get. But the truth of the matter is, just for information's sake, I might be able to work out a deal to where we can have August, September, October, November, and December to pay off both units. So it's not a huge hit without any finance cost. But again, I'm telling you because we need you. If we deplete the reserves, we're going to be running slim and none. But we don't want to do that. We have the money, and we're trying to avoid that. And we're trying to get the best price possible. But we're telling you that we have one unit running right now. It's cost us about $700, just a little under, to get that one unit working. We blew a thermostat, some other things. Just the details are there. It looks like we may have to replace both of the units. Because in January, they're replacing the refrigerant with a new refrigerant. So for some odd reason, if we cut off one, if we put it in now, we're almost better off to be in front of the game and replace both of them. They're both about at their max age. I'll tell you that, and I appreciate your prayers. Wednesday night, I'm still doing it at home. We're about chapter 4, chapter 5 in the book, and I'm enjoying sharing with you We'll be back meeting with you Wednesday the 11th. Our dinner and fellowship back on Wednesday night right after Labor Day. What's up next? Women of the Church of God have their meeting on the 24th of September at Metropolitan. If you're interested, details are in the back. What else, John? So I said all of that to remind you today is communion. We're going to celebrate communion. I am still actively working on trying to find someone to fill our worship. It's not been an easy transition. We were using Worship Support Network, and I made the difficult decision that we weren't getting the talent that we needed to support our congregation. So, unfortunately, that's why you have videos. And I'm not apologizing for them. I'm just telling you the situation. So, I appreciate your patience. You may not like all of the music and the way it's developed, but we're doing the best we can to search for someone. They're just not there. And for the month of September, I mentioned earlier, Sheila's going to be with us at least 4 out of the 5 Sundays in September. So September is going to be a hymn sing. We're going to be worshiping with hymns, traditional hymns from the songbooks. And you'll get your fill of that as I lead worship. And I'll do it one knee up because I'll be having my surgery. But hey, as Jonathan reminds me, suck it up, buttercup. We'll be worshiping the way it is. But at any rate, I just want you to know, because if you don't like the worship songs, I'm sorry. I'm trying to pick a good variety for us to worship to, but I don't have the talent. And I can't see the church spending the kind of money without getting the talent. So, and guess what? God works in strange ways, right? Because how did I know 2 or 3 weeks ago that we were going to lose the furnaces and we were going to have to pay out that additional cash? So God has a way of working all things out. So when you say, God, I don't like that music, please just bear with me. We're doing the best we can to present worship as much as we possibly can for you that you can enjoy and celebrate with. So with that, we have worked it out so it's all up there and we're not switching around. So, John, let's go on and we're going to worship the Lord, and hopefully you can worship sitting or standing, however God blesses you. I know you've already turned this up for me, but I got to have a little more because that last song, I just lost it. So thank you.
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. We have hope that His promises are true. In His strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same lives in us, lives in us, he lives in us, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me, he conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, greater is he that is living in me. He conquered our enemy. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. From the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, within us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that all the raging sea lives in us, within us.
Thank you, God. Grateful that God's same power lives in us. Now we're going to raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Hallelujah. Our King is alive today.
Hallelujah. Everything inside of me. Raise a hallelujah. I'll watch the darkness flee. Raise a hallelujah. And
wants to play for me. Let us be in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praising roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Ready for the next song, you can go ahead and be seated for just a few moments, because we're going to raise a hallelujah. Death has been defeated. The King is alive. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. This next song talks about a gentleman whose life's journey, and you'll know it when you hear it, about God breaking through in the loss of a multitude of things. He sang the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." As we prepare for a time of prayer, we want to worship the Lord, and then we'll take part in communion. You can go ahead on, John, to the next one. Chris Rice brings this version. We can sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." We can raise a hallelujah, prepare for prayer.
When peace like a attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should come, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin on the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I therein no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is my soul.
my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Well, with my soul. As we prepare for a time of prayer, let me give you an update. Mr. Gary is off all of his medications. He's sitting up, he's walking, he's eating, he's taking Tylenol for pain, and Gene says he's ornery. And I praise the Lord for his orneriness. He's doing well. She's doing well. They're continuing to pray for Gary for his complete healing. Obviously, they're keeping an eye on him, but hey, God is amazing in what he is doing. And we're grateful for that answer to prayer. We're grateful that Mr. Bora's back with us, and she had a time away, and we missed her. We're glad to see Sister Charlotte and all of you celebrating with us, and God is good. You can go ahead and start that music if you want. I just picked some soft music for us to prepare for prayer in. Just something to settle our minds and to think about God. He's an amazing God, and he walks with us and talks with us along life's narrow way, and we're grateful for what he does. You know, I can't always promise the sunshine. I love the beauty of the sun. We've seen the nature of God and the little animals roaming around. Beth has got her eye full of the little spots all over our ears. But hey, God is amazing. And we are so grateful. About another week and a half, I'll go through some surgery myself. And I'll be in here on a little knee scooter. I got it ordered. I hope I won't be ornery, but I can almost guarantee you, without a doubt, I make no promises. But it'll be on a Thursday, and I'll be here on a Sunday morning. Whether I'm sitting, standing, if I do stand, it'll be 1 foot, but we'll see how that goes. More than likely, I'll be sitting. I don't know what's going to happen when God gets a hold of me and starts moving me around. We're going to have to limit my coffee, but I'm looking forward to getting it over with and done, and this semester will be coming to a close, and I'll be ready for the next. Pray for the church as we make decisions about the furnace. Pray for Gary. Pray for Gene. Pray for the blessings. I don't see the Brecks this morning, so I'm assuming something's going on with them, so we want to continue to keep Suzanne in our prayers and Sister Charlotte and the multitude of needs that we have. So let's just go to a time of prayer, and may God speak to you and through you this morning. Even God, as we pause, we can celebrate Horatio Spafford in the words of "It is well with my soul." May that be what is on our hearts and minds today, Father. That we can say without a doubt, it is well with my soul. God, we come. Our weeks may have been different in a multitude of ways. Whether we come, Father, with aches and pains this morning, the hurts and desires of the world around us, the pain that comes from loss or grief, the challenges that we face, God, both financially, physically, spiritually, are true today. They're real, Father. Whether we want to validate them or discount them, they are something that touches our life. Father, they trouble us when we see the world around us. The political landscape is in turmoil. The world around us seems to be chaotic. Yet here we are, just like Horatio Spafford, saying, "It is well with my soul." Oh, God. How long in days, Father, just to sit, meditate on your word, to hear your voice speaking, to listen to the gentle heartbeat. Father, to receive your embrace, to be welcomed into the fold. God, you already reminded us, no matter what journey we take, no matter what longing is in our life, you are there. No matter what challenge we face, no matter what obstacle is in front of us, no matter what valley we find ourselves in, and no matter what mountaintop we are on, you are there, God. As far as the east is to the west, as high as the sky and as deep as the ocean, whether we can see the ocean from a submarine or from little glasses where we look from the top, whether we pause to look at the sky at night, whether we look around us and see the beauty before us, you are there, God. You said even the lilies of the field, they don't care about what happens tomorrow, for our Heavenly Father takes care of them. And even when the sparrow falls to the ground, you know that. You know us, God, and the very hairs of our head are numbered. God, we praise you, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know everything about us. You know our likes, our dislikes, our orneriness, Father, when things don't go the way we want. Father, I'm thankful for how your hand has been upon Brother Gary. And I continue to pray, God, that you will touch him in a unique way. Holy Spirit, you know exactly what Gary needs right now. I continue to pray for Sister Jean. In the coming days, when Gary's okay to go home, I pray for their home. Prepare it, God. I pray for Jean that you'll prepare her. I pray for Gary as he heals and wants to get back to doing some of the normal things. Keep him calm. Keep him at peace. Bless those body functions, Father, that you'll continue to touch him in a mighty way. Father, bless your people this morning. It's good to see Deborah. It's good to see Suzanne. It's good to see Charlotte. And it's good that, Father, you're blessing your people. We don't see the Brecks this morning, Father, so whatever's going on there, I pray that you'll touch them. And I pray that you'll focus us, Father, with peace like a river tendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows flow, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for our church. We pray for your leading, Father, and if it's money that you're going to bring to us to help solve this furnace issue, Father, whether it's the right people in our path, whether it's a blessing that you flowed, Father, you will make it happen in the way that you so need to. I pray for the leadership. Give us wisdom to go in the right steps. Give us your wisdom this morning. I pray for Pastor Salim at Bungoma Church as they're getting ready for a big revival. Bless them, Father. Bless our sister churches around us. God, let your power of your presence flow. Bless the city of Sterling Heights, state of Michigan, country and our world, Father. Oh, God, how we truly need to know you in a more specific way. Bless your people this morning, Father, that whatever is going on in our mind, give us a moment this morning to hear from you, God. Give us a moment that as we pause, Father, we'll reflect on your goodness and your grace. Let us pour our hearts out to you. We may hear from you, God, and not me. And I'll thank you for speaking in and through us today. Thank you. Father, as you touch us this morning, give us a moment, Father. We celebrate communion. Remind us of taking in your presence. Remind us that you are still God. And there we see us as pastor. Remind us how much you love us, God. Speak your name through your people today. In the holy and precious name, God. Whether someone wants to make a mockery of the Lord's Supper, or no one realizes how powerful it is, to celebrate the elements every month, to give thanks for the power of His anointing. It's not just some time or ritual that we do. It's not something just to check the box and say it's done. And we've had communion and we go on. It's more than that. Jesus didn't establish it and didn't design it for being a check in the box. He designed it because of what He was giving to us. I pray that as you reach into your hearts today and as you celebrate in communion, that these elements will remind you of His presence in your life, that you take in Christ. Father, I pray for these elements today, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as you have broke the bread and blessed it and gave it to them, as you poured the cup, remind us as your body that we take you in. Bless these elements this morning. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, eat and drink as you will. Oh, how you love us, God. Oh, how you love me. Father, we just praise you and thank you for everything for doing. Speak now, Father, through my mind, speak through my voice, speak through my heart as we celebrate this time. Weeks ago, I had the wonderful chance on Wednesday night to share a little bit about leading a life worthy. It just so happens that it's part of what the sermon series has got us going into, leading a life worthy. You know, as I shared with you, we believe it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, that for some reason we walked in last Sunday and we had lost power at the church. Didn't think much about it. Didn't think too much about what was going on. We reset the clocks and went about our business. It appears that the thermostat needed resetting, a painful task. Any of you ever lost power at your home? Isn't it such a joy? You don't realize how important that light switch is when you go to click it on and it doesn't turn on. John called me up and said, hey, your computer in the office is making all kinds of noise. My battery backup had failed. We went through the task of resetting the clocks and the appliances and kind of assumed everything was okay. You know, you wonder in the loss of power, is your refrigerator going to survive? Is the food in your freezer going to be okay? And much to our surprise, the thermostat failed, and so have one of the furnaces. You experience those losses from time to time. You don't think much about it until it happens. Then you wonder, should I start the generator? Do I have a backup generator? Do I have all things? Do I have power to my phone? You're used to plugging in your phone at night. You want that phone to be fully charged. Where's my watches? Where's my computers? Do I have flashlights at the house? Do I have candles? And the worst part, I remember about a little more than a year ago, Beth and I were working on our house and we lost power. And it was cold in that house. It was colder in the wintertime and it was late in the year, and we snuggled down by the fireplace and all we had was the gas log. We were doing our best to try to keep that house warm. Can't turn on the electric stove. You could turn on the gas and you had hot water, but there wasn't much else. And we got out the blankets and we were doing our best to try to keep warm for a couple of days. Fortunately, it was cold enough and we didn't lose everything in our freezer. But you know, we put a lot of emphasis on stuff like that. It's important to us. I wonder, what happens when we lose connectivity to Christ and the Holy Spirit's power? Do we even notice it missing in our life? Do we even recognize until something happens in our life? Do we even recognize that there's some connectivity problems? Or do we go about our life and everything seems to be going fine until we need something? And then we go, I'm missing something in my life. Something's just not the same. Paul gives us a little inkling in this whole series called Living a Life Worthy. Let's look for a moment, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, let's do so. I promise I won't talk through the Scripture while you stand. But it'll give you a moment to stretch your legs. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Hence the title, Live a Life Worthy. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Paul's got an inkling. Let's get to the task. Humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly region? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth as waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May God add a blessing. You may be seated. If living a life worthy of the calling means that I must keep the power attached, I must keep the sustaining attachment of God working in and through my life, my constant energy and emotional stability must come from the source of life, the author of my soul being. Once drained and disconnected, my battery runs empty, my spiritual source of food spoils, my passion for people will run dry. To live a life worthy of the calling means that there must be an intersection of God's sustaining power and the calling of God to reach people. Let me say that one more time. Once drained or disconnected, my battery runs empty. My spiritual source of food may spoil. My passion for people may run dry. My cup of coffee may be cold and empty. To live a life worthy of the calling of God means there must be an intersection of what is a worthy life and the calling. Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, we are at, in chapter 4, the intersection of half of the letter. This audience has been labeled to the Gentiles. There's a crucial introductory statement in 4 verse 1, which is a pivotal appeal to the audience. When we think of this term worthy, many of us shudder at it. We wonder what it means to be worthy of the calling. Am I worthy? Is my life worthy of being called by God? Worthiness today is one of those terms that strikes us at the very core of who we are. Because we've come from different walks, different axioms, different economic standings, worthy is a tough thing. Because as am I worthy? Does my sin of my past, does my life give me an opportunity to say that I am worthy? How am I worthy? Well, we know that Paul is living out this worthiness in a scale of what he says, we are worthy not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. We are worthy not because of what I try to do, but what he has done in my life. Worthiness comes as a factor of him and not a factor of me. And thus my appeal to Christian living, that I must live out God, must flow out of the reality that I am created by God. Paul puts in here an intersection of what he calls the calling of God and living of life worthy. Let me explain for just a moment. It is important to know that Paul is writing to young ministers like Timothy, but he's writing to an expansive audience. Regular yet faithful believers are struggling. Paul gives us this word worthy as an axiom. He said there must be an intersection of our worthy life and the calling of God. In other words, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we are worthy of the calling because of what he has done, because the cross is empty, because of the calling of God. Paul said that calling is to live out what God has done in our life. What is your divine purpose? God has made us in his image and in his likeness. He has infused in us the gifts and talents to accomplish all kinds of things. Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to further say, because of that calling of God, God has infused in your life and infused in my life the gifts of the Spirit. God has given you peace and joy and love and patience and gentleness and kindness and meekness. And over all these things, he's put on the Spirit, guaranteeing that you and I have a deposit for eternal life. Paul said, because of Christ, we are now worthy to live a life of the calling of God. So Paul is trying to say to the church at Ephesus, because of Jesus Christ, you have been called. And because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, we are now worthy. There's that intersection because of what he has done and the calling that he has placed on our life. He challenges us to live that life. Paul challenges the Ephesians to live out what it means to have a divine calling. Paul says it's because of that calling that we go, therefore, into all the world and we preach the gospel. It is because of that calling that we seek out those. It is that calling that says the fields are ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. It is because of that calling that we know that we have gathered to be infused with power and we have been called and set apart. And it is because of that calling we now go and reach the lost for the cause of Christ. That intersection between our relationship and tucked in the middle of that is this whole idea of being worthy and being called. But Paul goes on a little bit further. And he says, to live a life worthy of the calling, there must be balance and grace. Now, How many of you have balance in your life? I might just meddle for a little minute. Now you might think, what are you talking about, balance? I'm pretty stable. Are you really? Paul said this stability or this balance. Let me signify for you a little bit. Over the years, I've done a few weddings. A couple. 100. 1,000. I don't even remember how many. Yes, I do. The law requires that I keep it. But every time I meet with a couple, one of the things that I do in a unique icebreaker in the very beginning of my first meeting before we even embark on any kind of steps is I have a little icebreaker that I give to the couples. One of those icebreakers is I give them 15 nails and I give them a piece of wood. I put one nail in the piece of wood and I tell them to put the other nails on top of the single nail that's in the wood. I'm trying to describe for you, but I'm not going to give it to you. You'd have to come and see me and I'll show you. But one of the things that we talk about in the first meeting is the most important aspect in a marriage relationship is balance. There are times to where you will receive 80 to 90% of the attention. And I'm sure I'll be Beth in a couple of weeks and she'll be like, would you stop? Just go to sleep for a minute so I can, you know, she's not used to me being around the house. I can see her in a little while, after about 2 or 3 weeks, she's going to be like, it's time for you to go back to work. Take your knee scooter, take your little self, and I'll drive you to work and I will pick you up. Get out of my house. I'm just saying, folks, in a couple of weeks, we might have a few exegetical conversations in there. But there has to be balance. We are told there must be balance in work and play. There must be balance in our spiritual life. And there must be balance in relationships. That is so difficult. And what happens is in my first meeting, we talk about balance. We talk about this is not a me or you conversation. This is not all for me and none for you. And even in our Christian relationship, you know that God wants to infuse in your life some power. You also have to be allowed to let God infuse the power in your life. You know, there are some who believe that they're only here in church to receive. They're not here to do anything. I've been told before over the years that I'm only coming to church so I can gain something out of it. I simply said, well, what do you do with what you gain? Nothing. You know, if you've ever gone to a pond that has water flowing into it and nothing leaves that pond, what happens to it? It becomes stagnant and stale. It's good for mosquitoes. But balance in our life is critical. Balance is what Paul is trying to teach the church here. That there is a grace apportioned to us. Thank God for grace. Thank God for that unmerited want or favor in grace that God has given to us. I'm thankful that God has infused grace in my life. That when I don't have balance, God knows that I need balance. And God will take the time to infuse. You see, balance is designed so that we not only worship, but God pours into us. And when God pours into us, we're to pour that back. We're pouring it back into people around us, to the people near us, that God may create a system to where things flow in and flow out. You know, it said at one time, if you hold your money like this, it doesn't go anywhere, does it? I'm hoping that you can open your hands for me. I'm kidding you. But the whole idea is that the more you hold on to something, you can never let it go. And that's the most difficult aspect, is to have balance. This whole idea is centered on the thoughts and balance and knowing that I must receive instructions from God knowing that I never walk alone. His grace is sufficient. And the truth says there are some days I find I want to give Beth 100% of my time and attention. There are other days she would prefer that I don't give her 1% of my time and attention. I'm just kidding you, and I'm making lighthearted. But this whole idea of teaching and working together, Paul signifies that balance and grace. And he goes on to say in verse 14, he said, that's why we are no longer children tossed to and fro, blown with every wind and weight of doctrine. Because Paul knows the enemy's going to come after us. And he knows that without balance in our life, we're going to be tossed to and fro. We need that infusion of God and the infusion of his hand. Well, I better move on here. How many believe that we have some works of grace in the church? Please say yes. You know, a church, Paul talks about here, we know that there are gifts of the Spirit. We know there's all kinds of gifts that are given to the body of Christ. But Paul talks about fivefold gifts here. You know what the scripture says? You read it this morning. What did he say? He said, so Christ himself gave what? Are you with me? In verse 11, what did Paul say? So Christ himself gave us what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, those fivefold gifts, many over the years have made significant emphasis that they are both Christological, they're Christ-centered, and they're ecclesiology. They're ecclesiological. They're both Christ-centered and they're church-centered. Why does Paul mention those fivefold gifts? Because what Paul is trying to teach the church, if you want to live a life worthy of the calling of God, there must be evidences of God's working within your midst. If you attend a church and you attend and God is not working through people, God is not touching lives, he's not teaching people, he's not the working of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit is not present, if I were you, I would run. And I'm serious. Now, you don't see them all the time, but you should have evidences that God is working in your midst. You should have evidences that God is working in the church. When the church shuts God out and the fivefold gifts of the church are not present, I'm not saying you have to be speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm saying. Listen to what he said. There are apostles. There are prophets. Prophets are given the prophetic word. There are teachers. There's evangelists. There are people who are reaching the lost. There are those who are teaching others. You know, we all can teach someone. If you say you're too old that you can't learn, Dad used to always tell me, there's not a day go by that you shouldn't learn something. There's not a day that we shouldn't have something that sparks our attention and we learn something. Paul is trying to say to the church, you want a life worthy of the calling? There must be Christ-centered. There must be ecclesial work. There must be the working of the Spirit. There must be functioning things within the church that the members of the body. And oh, by the way, this body not only should see those fivefold gifts, but they should also see the working of the gifts of the Spirit. There should be patience among you. Did I say that out loud? There should be Jonathan's favorite word. There should be love. There should be joy amongst you. There should be forgiveness and grace. The problem is that so many of these look at them and go, well, if that's what Paul's saying, then there's none of the others. What Paul is trying to say means that we, if we're going to live a life worthy of the calling of God, we must have the activity of God working amongst us. Now, I could go into a lot more time, and there's just not time to digress into what all of these are. But the bottom line is, there should be the presence of God working in the church. And then finally, Paul makes the contrast here that if we want a life worthy, there must be fullness in us and in the church. Now, why did I say that? What Paul is saying is that we need to obtain the fullness of God working in us. Wow, if God is working to the fullness in us, he said as a result of that, you will not be tossed back and forth. You will not fall to the deceiving, cunning of the deceitful schemes. Will love and grow and become every aspect the body of him who is head to head from the head, that is Christ, that the whole body is joined and held together. What Paul is trying to say, a life worthy, is fullness in him. We're all held together by the same God, by one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all. What Paul is saying is, you want a worthy life? Let it be full of God, full of Christ, and full of the work in the church. We often think of the body of Christ as maybe a social activity. The Christian life is what we call heaven on earth. Well, some of us think it's hell on earth right now because of the way things are going. But we should, for all intents and purposes, as a body of Christ, find that we are working together through the grace of God. A life worthy of the calling of God is the grace of God to provide all things new, a new identity, a new heavenly citizenship, a new grace. And knowing that a life worthy is that intersection, it is that balance, it is that working together, it is the fulfillment of all the spiritual work in our life. Whew. I don't know that I've done a full grace to this message, but the whole central idea is a life worthy of the calling means that I identify with who he is, with who I am. Well, the fullness of Christ in us. Next week we're going to talk a little bit more about putting on that Holy Spirit. But in the meantime, let's close with that song, John. I know you know this one if you want to stand in closing.
Thank you.
I pray that that's your story today, that God will infuse in you His life and His gift today. May His presence go with you this week. May God bless you. Have an awesome week in front of you.
My heart, and I am yours.